This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon of Arts Partners of Central Illinois. We're talking with David Commande, Artistic Director of the Heartland Festival Orchestra, and featured soloist Michael Brown. Their next concert, featuring an all-Beethoven program, is tomorrow night at Five Points Washington. David, welcome back, and Michael, welcome.
Great to be here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, not only have you put together an all-Beethoven program, but this is a program that features works from a very particular season in Beethoven's life, often referred to as the middle period or the heroic period. Can you talk a little bit about some of the common musical threads and developments that have come out of that season of Beethoven's life?
Well, of course, Beethoven was very much in his stride. He was at his prime. He had already worked well past the exploratory stages, and we're experiencing in works like the ones we have on this program the entire gamut of his opus. On the one hand, we have the concerto, which is extremely dramatic and extremely intensely concentrated. It's a 9-minute psychological portrait of an amazing historic character. Then we have what's considered by many to be the first of Beethoven's mature piano concerti. Mm. And we hear him at his logical and lyrical best, I think, in this work. It's amazing. And then in the Seventh Symphony, of course, this is already well along in that great arc of all his symphonic works. But there is something so unique, powerful, energetic, joyful, and amazingly rhythmic about this symphony that it stands, well, of course, they're all unique, but for me, it stands very high in the list.
Now, Michael, you are the featured performer in the third piano concerto. The first two Beethoven concertos were pieces he wrote mostly for himself as a performer, and I'm just wondering, as a performer, as someone who has dug into these works, do you see a difference between the third concerto and the first two? Is there more maturity in this one? Is there more complexity in it?
Well, I would say I've played the first two also, and I love them. And I think there's something, I don't want to say Mozartian about them, because they're clearly Beethoven, but there's something lighter in character, not to say that they don't have wonderfully contrasting moods or anything like that, but there's something a little bit more 18th century about it. It's hard to exactly put my finger on it, but somehow when you hear the opening of this third piano concerto, you're immediately drawn into this very dark, very almost agitated, pensive, dramatic mood. And the work is full of these wonderful contrasts throughout. You might even, you know, subtitle the work something from dark to light, because the euphoria that happens at the very end is so triumphant, it's so Beethoven, it's so wonderful that I think one of his hallmarks of his style. So I think that all of that put together, the interplay between the piano and the orchestra, the development of the piano writing as it proceeded, as the instruments developed at that time, as the piano was a very evolving, constantly evolving at that time as an instrument. And Beethoven would always see, you know, the latest innovations and pianos available. So I think that also definitely affected his compositional process.
And I think you could say that our program, similar to the concerto, goes from dark to light.
Yeah.
Because in the overture, which is, so many people say C minor was Beethoven's favorite tonality, the great Fifth Symphony was in C minor. The overture is in C minor, but it remains in that tragic, dark place. Meanwhile, it's followed by the concerto, which moves, as Michael's explained, it moves from the dark to light, from the very dark and tragic to the joyous conclusion that's very special in the concerto.
When you, as artistic director, are putting together programs for the Heartland Festival Orchestra, do you keep that progression of tonality in mind? Is that something that comes into play, or is it just serendipitous in tomorrow night's program?
It's an interesting question, and I've discovered that often that's at work unconsciously. I don't always self-consciously ask myself about tonality, but I do actually think about it more often now than I might have in earlier years, having discovered that there was often an inner logic to that progression of tonalities. But going from C minor to C minor to E flat major to A major, I mean, it's a fascinating progression, and it is very upbeat. Our audiences should realize that's the arc of our program.
Now, moving from the first movement of the third piano concerto into the second movement, that really is a harmonic transition of sorts. We're going from that C minor to the next key, which is that's the E flat major that we go to, or is it the E major?
The second movement is in E major.
E major, yes.
And it's an incredible movement. Beethoven's slow movements are often just unbelievable. And this starts with the piano alone. In a pretty long, extended introduction, I would say, to the movement, where Beethoven has his unique pedal markings, where he asks for the pedal to be put down for very long and extended periods of time, almost blurring harmonies together, creating that very Beethovenian effect, which I know a lot of pianists kind of don't really do. And they kind of soften the edges of this thing. But obviously, it's hard to know exactly what that effect would have been like on Beethoven's pianos. So that would be something really interesting, I think, to study further. But they're really incredible, these pedal markings throughout the second movement.
Now, I'm curious, when you dig into a Beethoven piece, what's your entry point there? Do you start with the technical aspects and try to develop that and eventually formulate your own artistic take on it? Or do you study the score and try to reverse engineer Beethoven's psychology and try to conjure up the mood that you think he's going for? What's your plan of attack when you dig into one of these?
I think it's a little bit of both of those things. And I think, obviously, one has to, technically practice these difficult sections and passages. They're wonderfully written for the piano, but they're hard. Beethoven is a challenging composer, as always. There's never a break. There's never a dull moment. So that internalizing that is one step. And then simultaneously making artistic decisions about phrasing and timing and sound production and voicing is all part of just, an ongoing learning process when I study the score. It just comes with practicing and experience and experimenting and failing, I hope a key to maybe making some progress with it.
Again, Beethoven was a pianist in addition to a composer, and I'm just curious if either of you senses a difference in the way he writes for the keyboard versus the way he writes for the orchestra or the way he writes a violin concerto.
That's an interesting question. I can't speak from it in terms of having my hands on the piano the way Michael might, but I can say the pianistic writing often strikes me as orchestral, and the orchestral writing often strikes me as almost pianistic in its simplicity, in the fact that you can so often recognize the bones of the music. How does that strike you, Michael?
I think that sounds about right. I mean, I think there are certain passages that are, clearly, obviously, could only be played by he knew the piano so well, so intimately. And I think that's another, it's an interesting thing to play a work, a masterpiece by someone who was also a great pianist, like Beethoven, because you can really get a sense for what influenced the same potential technical struggles that I deal with. I'm sure, Beethoven must have felt also. I don't know. I think it's very interesting. I think I can't really speak for some of the orchestral things. It's a very thought-provoking question. But,
and Michael, you mentioned that Beethoven had his finger really on the pulse of innovation with musical instruments, particularly with the piano. And I think it's interesting to see as those concertos progress, as the piano becomes a more robust instrument able to project over an orchestra more capably, you see this color palette and the dense textures and the rich harmonies really develop simultaneously through Beethoven's work. Do you find that as well when you're exploring the different concerti?
Absolutely. And I think, or the piano sonatas, the progression from the first piano sonata to the last piano sonata is unbelievable. But there's a work like, for example, the Eroica Variations for piano, which is also kind of middle period work, but foreshadows his late style, where you get these effects of long extended trills or this pedal sections, or I think he was really exploring and experimenting with the sonic and instrumental capabilities of the day, unlike I think any other composer at the time.
Also, the fact is that with this given concerto, Beethoven created second and third versions of the piece with higher notes in it, in fact, because the range of the keyboard was being increased during Beethoven's time, and he chose to add higher notes when they became available. Obviously, he was all about innovation. He had his friendship with Maetzel, who invented the metronome and the panharmonicum and so forth, so he was all about what the latest was. And Michael, I'm really curious your thought about this. I'm not sure if you've had an opportunity to play any Beethoven on period instruments. I myself am convinced Beethoven would glory in the opportunities available to a Steinway artist. The Steinways are astonishing. But have you had a chance to work on one of those old instruments, and what changes?
I have actually tried here and there to play some of these instruments whenever I've traveled around or gotten the chance. But they're amazingly different than the modern Steinway. There's a sense of lightness. There's obviously they weren't intended for huge concert halls. They would not have projected. But there's some kind of innocent beauty and something that one can really capture and learn from the sound of these instruments. And they're really fascinating to play. The actions are often lighter, which makes certain things easier and more feasible, more piano, and that make on the, the modern piano is a robust beast of a machine, and certain passages are obviously, but the modern piano is amazing, and I have no complaints.
Not to complain, but I have to say, as a conductor, though, I am very conscious of the difficulty of often the winds in a Mozart or a piano or a Beethoven piano concerto projecting beyond the sound of a modern concert grand. It is a challenge for those singular wind voices, which are often a marvelous color in accompaniment to what the piano is doing. And meanwhile, we have this wonderful concert grand, and its lid is angled toward the audience, and then the sound of the winds drifts sort of over and around that amazing rich sound from the piano. So I think sometimes the orchestra is almost at its disadvantage with the modern concert grand. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I think the winds are... No, obviously, I'm just kidding around. I think you're right. I think that one has to listen and just balance a performance. I think in a concerto, the piano has to be heard.
Of course.
But we also... The winds... And again, another thing that relates to what you were saying earlier is that not only did the piano advance, but the orchestra... And I'm sure as the symphonies progress, the instrumentation changes.
Yes.
The inclusion of different and more instruments happened, as opposed to those early concertos that you mentioned before. So I think it's just, I love chamber music. I love playing chamber music. So I think if we can think of this of these concertos like chamber music with more people, it's more fun. Not that we of course need a conductor. Don't get my impression. And we need you there, David. But
thanks. Appreciate it.
Michael, I want to read a quote from your bio because it's just very lovely, and I think our audiences need to know this about you. My musical life began at the age of 2 as I danced in front of the TV to songs of Raffi. By age 3, I had listened to Billy Joel's Piano Man so many times that I wore out the cassette tape. At 4, I realized I wanted to be the reincarnation of Mozart, so I embarked upon a life of exploration, some isolation, but mostly pure and utter joy. And I bring that up to the discussion right now because pianists often work in isolation.
Mm.
You're spending hours alone with that beautiful 9-foot Steinway grand, and there's these moments where you get to join other musicians on stage in front of an audience for these glorious collaborations. But I think it's that experience is potentially heightened for pianists because they spend so much time alone. What what type of emotions do you experience before you walk out onto stage to perform a concerto like Beethoven's Third?
Usually a mix between being excited and terrified. Obviously, I think the life as a professional pianist is at times quite, you know, isolated. And I think that's one of the joys, to put together a Beethoven piano concerto. David and I will meet and talk about the piece, and we'll discuss things. So it's not just my own ideas. It's a give and take. It's a collaboration. And then we add on top of that the orchestra and the interplay between all of us. So it doesn't become so lonely anymore. And then when it's over, I'll go back to being lonely for a little bit and have friends. And no, it's an interesting life, and I'm happy to have, you know, do various projects and chamber music and all sorts of things. So it keeps me, you know, not too miserable.
And speaking of isolation, actually, it will also not be isolated, but following our concert with the Heartland Festival Orchestra, I invited Michael to give a solo piano recital on the day after. And I want to make sure people know about that, too. It'll be at Eureka College in the chapel. There's a hall upstairs known as McAllister Hall. That's at 300 East College Avenue. And it's going to be 2:30 p.m. on Sunday afternoon at Eureka College. And Michael is playing works of Mendelssohn, Maurice Ravel, Leonard Bernstein, and none other than Michael Brown, because Michael is a pianist composer, much as was Beethoven.
Now, Michael, we've been talking a lot about tomorrow night's concert with the Heartland Festival Orchestra, but that's not the only thing on your itinerary while you're here in town. You've also got a Sunday afternoon recital that's taking place.
That's right, and it'll be at Eureka College and at 2:30, and I'm playing works by Mendelssohn and Ravel and Leonard Bernstein and one of my own compositions.
Great.
And I can add that that's at the chapel at Eureka College, and people with questions can call 309-467-6466. Tickets available at the door.
We've been talking with the Heartland Festival Orchestra's David Commande and with soloist Michael Brown. They are in concert with an all-Beethoven program tomorrow night at 7:30 at Five Points, Washington. Thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit us on the web, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.